Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovic and Dr. Sherry Denham. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. It's a great day for New Life.
I'm glad you accepted my call. I listen every day.
Now, can we all be friends if I say something a little bit confronting?
Give it to me straight. I can take it.
It won't be indirect and it won't be flippant. It will be respectful. But I want you to look at this as you have a problem.
I know I'm making excuses.
Love your honesty.
Okay. So you're saying he went from the honeymoon to the honey move?
Whenever you do that, that's a little quick.
Yeah.
Are you wondering, Elizabeth, if you're trapped?
Rather than try to teach them something, I would listen and I would just kind of point out the inconsistencies, the lack of evidence, and some of the social pressure that's there.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to New Life Live. Glad to see you here today. And wherever you are, we're glad we're with you. Right there with me, Dr. Sherry Denham. Hello, Dr. Sherry Denham.
Hello. Good to be here.
And Mylon Yurkovic.
Glad to be here. It's a delight.
I got a question for you. What if someone came up to you and said, healing is something that God does instantaneously when God chooses to heal someone, and this counseling stuff is kind of a waste of people's time? What do you say to that?
Well, I would first say I've always hated pop quizzes. I always got in trouble with them in junior high and high school. They
really
always freaked me out.
Get into yourself.
Yeah.
They,
okay.
Yeah.
But I would say that, you know, there's certainly in the New Testament and sometimes in the Old Testament there were instantaneous lots of things, healings, miracles, lots of instantaneous things. But there's also principles of growth where people are changed and transformed over time, and that God paints that picture too clearly in the Bible. What I think the three of us would call slow miracles. Growth in a new direction is a slow miracle.
Example, Abraham goes from having so little faith that he prostituted his wife two times.
Yes.
To so much faith that he's willing to take the son he loves down to the altar to butcher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's a process of growth.
Well, it is. And it is a slow miracle. So I think a lot of people look at those very specific verses in the Bible that show instantaneous deliverance or healing or some sort of a cessation of a physical law of the universe. And they go, well, that ought to be norm and commonplace for me today. Many of the miracles were for a specific purpose. They were to validate the word of the person who was speaking,
yeah,
of Christ and the apostles.
And to glorify him. And can you imagine how big the Bible would be if it was volumes of transformation? I mean, we would have volumes,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
If healing was instantaneous, why would we even need the word? Right? Let's just say we pray, God heals us. Why do we need guidelines about, you know, love is patient, love is kind? You know, these are the things that you need to think upon.
James 5:16, confess your sins to one another, pray for each other,
yeah,
that you might be healed. There's a process of confessing and praying. That's
right.
Not instantaneous.
It's not. I see the instantaneous in the way that Jesus touched others and healed them.
Sure.
But ultimately, it was to glorify God. It was, yeah.
To point him out as the Messiah,
absolutely,
which is therefore to glorify God.
Absolutely.
And sometimes,
you're right,
not so instantaneous, and sometimes using a foreign substance
like
in the process of healing, like mud
on the eyes,
water,
right?
And you got to go down and do this thing. You've got to wash and clean up and all that. So
it was so fun being in the Holy Land with you both, because now I can see those pictures.
Yeah.
Can you see the place we went that the man actually got in and,
yeah,
got into the water? Jesus,
right,
says, get in. Can you see it
in
your mind's eye?
The total Siloam, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. They were real places, and God invited people to do real things,
yeah,
and real healing came out of it. But in our real world today, I see process,
yeah,
and change and
too
hard work and rolling up your sleeves and falling down and getting up again.
I thought it was the Pool of Bethesda, but maybe you're talking about a different...
There was another pool, the Pool of Siloam, which is, yeah, another one.
Okay.
That's all.
We were pool jumping there.
Yeah.
That's something good to do in the summer.
I don't know if that helps anybody, but it sure helps me. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham in lively mood today.
We were saying that when we were all in the Dead Sea, all of us, our names were Bob.
We were bobbing around. You guys have to imagine. Just close your eyes for a moment and picture Steve, Mylon, and I all muddy. We have mud all over us from the
bobbing.
Dead Sea clay. We're bobbing. And we were just saying we were just bobbing around. It was funny, you know?
Yeah, it's very funny.
It wasn't bothersome that it was mud. It was just bothersome that it had been on so many bodies over the past 100 years, people going there and putting it on. It
apparently just thousands.
My friend, yes. So I just go, ooh, look at this. This is used mud. Yeah. I prefer virgin mud. It's just something I like to do.
Extra virgin olive oil, you know, kind of stuff.
Yeah. Why don't we...
We're not going to obsess on germs. Let's move ahead, take caller.
Let's go talk to Beatrice from Lakewood, California, listening on KKLA. Beatrice, how are you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Great. What's going on in your personal life today?
Oh, well, it's just that first-time caller. I listen to you guys at work all the time. So I thank you so much for all you do for everybody.
Thank you.
Actually, I was just talking to the lady, and I was saying that I was involved with my ex-husband for the last 22 years off and on. We got divorced about 7 years ago, but I'm so codependent. I have codependency issues with this man, you know, and it's so hard to let him go, even though he was abusive mentally, verbally abused, and it doesn't seem to me that I can move forward with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like stuck there. I can't move forward. I have two beautiful sons. His name is Joseph, and the other one, David, and two grandkids, 1-year-old baby boy,
okay. Beautiful.
Well,
you invested a lot of life into this man and created a family with him.
Yeah, and it's like he has moved on, and I feel so, I can't move on with my life, and I
well,
think, what's wrong with me?
Let's work on your vocabulary, okay?
Okay, mm-hmm.
You haven't moved on with your life, but that doesn't mean you can't move on with your life.
Okay.
You haven't moved on with your life, but you can move on with your life. It's just a painful process that you have to go through to get to the other side, and you have to want it really badly.
It's amazing, Beatrice. I sit with so many people, like, you know, we all do here, and one of the first questions I ask when I hear someone like yourself share her story, I ask her, what is the benefit in staying?
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting out of it?
Just to see my family together that I never had growing up.
Ah.
So you're not just not getting over it. You're expecting it to all fall back in place?
Well, you know, I had tried many times to make it work, but I always get back to the same scenario, to the same situation, whereas I lose myself completely,
mm-hmm.
and then I get hurt,
yeah.
and I start praying to God to help me to get out of there, and he has helped me every time he mm-hmm. pulled me out of that situation.
Was he unfaithful to you?
You know, he were more likely controlling, very controlling person that I met him, you know, right after I got out of my mom's house. She was very abusive to me physically, so I went from one abuse to another abuse in different ways, you know. So I don't know how to be myself. I don't know how to
live a life. It's like you don't know how to live a life where you're not having someone abuse you.
I don't know any other way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So is there a specific question for us?
Yes. How do I move on and with my life from here on?
Well, I think, Beatrice, I am so proud of you for linking the fact that your mom was abusive and you walked right out of her house into the hands of another person who was abusive because it felt so normal to you to be in that in that place. It was familiar. So if you want to escape the old family patterns, if you want to escape the family lies, if you want to escape and do something new, you need to be very intentional. Now, you live in Lakewood, California, so you have a hospital in Lakewood. You have Long Beach Memorial. Around these big hospitals, you have classes that are being offered by these by nurses, by social workers, and abuse recovery. And I would get into a codependency group as quickly as you can. Stay there. And then with that group of people, begin to formulate a plan whereby you find yourself further away from this person and less dependent upon them. And I would just do everything I can to set out new goals so that you're no longer victimized by abuse, but you have a plan for the abuse, to become a sponsor of somebody else, to eventually move on into a place of helping other people. And keep that in mind. You have worth and value here.
I'm amazed that you say, it's amazing to hear you say you have worth and value. Because I think what Mylan's picking up on, Beatrice, is that he's not so sure that you know that you have worth and value.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I'm very self-critical of myself. I don't think I don't like myself. And I'm working on all those issues, you know, and because I want to be there for my grandkids and my two
sons. I get it. Sometimes what happens when Mylan was talking about you making the connection, when we have trauma that happens early on, sometimes what happens is we wire in these negative beliefs about ourselves. They sound something like this: I am worthless, or I don't deserve good things.
Yeah.
And those negative beliefs are lies.
Or I caused this abuse.
It could be that. I caused this to happen. Yeah. And so what happens is we start living by them because we not only have this belief that we felt at a heart level, but now we start living that belief. And even though someone like Mylan, who's very wise, and he's trying to help move you out of that position, even though a very wise man can tell you, hey, Beatrice, you've got value and worth, it kind of rolls off you like water on a duck's back.
Right.
You're having a hard time absorbing it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a very negative person, and I can see that now that I'm growing up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that I think I want to be happy. I don't want to be a codependent person and have to lead somebody else's life. I want to be able to move forward. And I'm praying to God that he will help me.
Mm-hmm. Well, he will help you, but Sherry and Steve and I are saying you have to do more than just try to recover. You have to be proactive. You have to turn your life into a ministry to other people. And when you're able to do that, then you're being proactive, not reactive to this abuse. And so part of, as I was saying, you become somebody else's sponsor. You pray for other people. You encourage other people. You actually take steps, Sherry, Steve, wouldn't you say, to do more than this, finding a new purpose for your life.
Yeah.
And we have to start change our stinking thinking. Really, instead of me believing the lie, which is I am worthless or I don't deserve good things, we have to start looking at the truth. Jesus said the truth's going to set you free. The truth is that I am worth something. I have a value, and I do deserve good things.
Okay, so she made came to some conclusions about herself
that she's living by.
But I think it all started with a vow that she made to herself when she was abused by her mother. I suspect she made a vow: as soon as I turn 18, I'm getting out of this house. And I think that's how you walk out of an abusive relationship and you take anything. But I think a lot of times other people make these vows, I will never be hurt again, or I will never let somebody into my life again, or
I will never be okay on my own.
Right. That's right.
I'm never going to be okay in my own self. And so they stay hooked into these really toxic relationships.
I will never be controlled again.
Yes.
So if somebody's just normal, you see everything as control, and you've made this vow.
You're right.
So observations, vows, commitments, and promises. We need to look at those that we make, because they set us up for a real fall. And I feel bad for Beatrice. Living 22 years and going through that kind of abuse. But as you said, there comes a time when it's got to be over.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to finally do something. And we are proud of her for doing that. All right. 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us on the program. Or if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll just take a minute to remind everybody, we have a $100,000 matching gift. If I can bring in or you can give $100,000, we get $100,000. If it's $20,000, then they will give us $20,000, whatever it is. So your giving can be twice as meaningful if you could do it right now and help us with this matching gift. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or you go to newlife.com, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Let's go to the phones. Here's Terry from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hello, Terry.
Yes, hi. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good. Very good. My question is regarding my sister, who is gay and has been gay for some time.
Okay.
And recently I was having a graduation party for my daughter at my house, a graduation cookout, and she called to ask if she could bring her significant other. And I just thought about not wanting to have that in my home or around my children, knowing that that was the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah. Boy, those are tough situations. Mm-hmm. You have to wonder, what is the point? Why of all things does she want to bring her to the house, knowing how you feel about everything?
Right. I'm trying to, raise my children in the Christian way and teaching them, to honor God and do things God's way. And I do love my sister very much, and I have talked to her about it. I haven't badgered her beat her over the head with it. But when she called and asked, and I've had other situations. I don't allow alcohol in my home.
That kind of conversation with her and say, I'm just wondering if you could let me off the hook a little bit. This party is just an hour long, and I would love to see you. Your partner really, I tell you, I'm really confused and it's complicated, but is there any way that you could just come on your own?
Mm.
I mean, that's kind of a wimpy way to do it, but
I don't think it's wimpy at all.
I do wimpy things.
It sounded warm to me.
Just trying to.
I didn't see wimp in
okay,
that.
Okay, Mylon, what do you think?
I was just listening.
Just listening?
But since you asked me what I think.
Yeah.
How old is you? It's a graduation party.
High school graduation.
Okay, so your daughter's 17 or 18 years old?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have I have a 14-year-old and a 19-year-old.
Okay. Well, but you see, the realities of life are, as Christians, we're going to encounter people of all different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have the ability to be a light in the darkness with people with whom I disagree? And when do I start to learn that? Do I wait till I'm 25 to learn that? Do I wait till I'm 30? You know, when do I do that? So I'm simply creating an idea that it would be possible with boundaries to somehow socialize with somebody you disagree with in terms of lifestyle or how they live their life for the purpose of trying to win them and be a light and to also understand them. And so wouldn't it be, a lot of people want to spend time with nuclear family and they miss people. So the question is, what am I doing? Why am I having them in? And perhaps it's just to love them and show them something that's special. And so I think you could take a couple of different stances on this.
Yeah, the way you're talking, you could show your 14-year-old how you disagree with something but still love the person.
Right.
We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We'll just finish up here with Terry. Terry, any other thing you were thinking about before
yes,
we say goodbye?
Yes, I was. Okay. I just wanted to say one of the reasons I felt I should not have her come is because I felt like welcoming her into my home would say to my children that I was okay with that.
Well, you just need to have a conversation with your children.
Yeah.
You have to tell them.
They're not.
Having her here does not mean that I agree with what she's doing, but it means that I am going to show love to her and acceptance of her as a human being. And kids just like you, she absolutely knows how I feel about all of this. I don't have to go into it again.
And these are not children anymore.
Yeah,
it's not like
teenagers.
A 7, 6, and 8-year-old.
I thought they were younger when I was giving my really wise advice, but they're older.
Yeah, and right. How do we prepare people? And, you know, a lot of Christians don't know how to walk into the world and be a light in the world.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, it is. You know, we were chatting about it a little bit offline. I mean, Terry, I think there's a lot of folks that feel like you do, that if you say yes,
right.
You know, then somehow you're saying yes to what their behavior is and not to the person. And that's real. I know there's a group of listeners that are listening today that are going, we get what she's saying. Mm-hmm. You know, like that would be hard to do because you do feel like you're letting something in that you disagree with.
Yeah.
But how do we bridge that gap in the relationship so that we help to educate our kids? We don't close out our family members.
Now, let me be a little bit more controversial.
Okay.
You ready? I wouldn't go to their wedding.
Oh, my gosh, no.
See?
Okay.
I would invite them into my home, or I would invite times to be with them and feel and experience opportunity to be with family. But I wouldn't go to a wedding and sit and condone something I disagree with.
Yeah.
So there's where I would draw the line, and that's how I would draw it, Terry. But that's
can you see
one
that difference,
guy's
Terry?
Opinion.
Yeah, can you see the difference in what Milo just said?
Yeah, I mean, I had a brother-in-law who was in an adulterous relationship, and I did not allow him to bring the other woman to our family cook-off.
Sure.
So how do you feel about that? Should I have embrace them and just let, you know, my children know, no, that's not your aunt. That's, you know.
Well, a lot depends on this. A lot depends on whether the person is a Christian or not. I hold Christians to a higher standard.
Different standard.
A different standard because God tells us to forsake sin. And we are to approach the Christian with an attitude of pleading with them to come back from the place they've extended themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different than being together with non-believers and people who don't know any better, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm, you know, and it's interesting that one of the qualifications for an elder in 1 Timothy 3 is they need to have a good reputation with those outside the church. Now, when's the last time you ever heard anybody applying to be an elder of a church and they went and said, now, who are some non-believers that you know that I could talk to and see what they feel about you?
Right.
See, what do all your neighbors feel about being a neighbor with the Ardburns? You know, and we don't even go there. We don't even ask that question.
Yeah.
And so I'm supposed to have a relationship with non-believers. What for? To be a light, to share the gospel, to bring people opportunities for redemption and healing. I think Christians can be very protectionistic and rigid and hunker in and never be a light to the world.
Yeah, if you're a light, you got to think about it. You've got to be within a certain parameter to even get into the light, right?
Right.
If you're far away from somebody, you're not even near the light.
Right.
So
where else are these people going to see something different?
Yeah.
Because they're going to hang out in their social groups and they're going to be reinforcing something over and over and over again. When are they going to have an opportunity to be exposed to something different?
All right. Hope that's helpful to you. And let me send you a copy of Regret-Free Living. I hope you'll like that. Now we're going to go to Terry from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
That's Terry. We just talked to Terry.
Just talked to Terry. I'm sorry about that. We're going to go to Sarah from Pasadena, California. KKLA is the station. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. How's your life going today?
It's good. I'm actually calling on behalf of my mom. I have two siblings, an 18-year-old sister and a 21-year-old brother who are living at home with her, and she's a single mom, has been for about 10 years.
And you're how old?
I am 30.
You're 30, okay.
Yeah, I'm 30. Yeah, so basically my mom's situation right now is she's in this cycle of being both depressed and then going back to being very angry at my siblings for their behaviors. My sister's extremely manipulative, abusive, verbally. My brother is just kind of not doing well. He's just kind of at home, not really doing anything with himself. And there's a lot of alcohol abuse. A lot of just very out of control behavior from both of them. And so my mom is kind of torn between having to move out and kind of leave them on their own, and then being guilty over, you know, the many years that she feels she hasn't taught them how to be on their own. And so she's just kind of back and forth with this. She gets depressed and then wants to help them out of their situation, and then she gets really sad because they respond in a manner that she doesn't, you know, doesn't like, and
all right.
It's ugly, you know. It's, yeah. My sister's really mean.
Well, we're going to go to a break, and
okay.
We're going to try to come up with something brilliant for you, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, glad you called. You're listening to New Life Live with Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Cherry Denham, And we hope and pray that you will pray for this ministry. We can never, ever get too much prayer for New Life. We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Sarah?
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 Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so you called. You want to know how to help your mother. I'll give you two things to say that would be helpful to her. Mother, doing anything out of guilt is going to cause you to do the wrong thing.
Okay.
So dealing with these kids because you feel guilty about the past, let's just agree, well, that's not a good foundation or motivation on how to raise kids or how to respond to them in trouble.
Okay.
Second thing is we have to raise kids based on their needs today.
Okay.
So today, Mom.
See, that's a great point, Steve.
Today, Mom, these kids need some boundaries and structure, and they need to be held accountable. That's what you focus on today.
Okay.
So if you believe that the boundary that must be set based on their behavior and what they say to you is they cannot live inside your house, then make that boundary and you keep it. Then you might be forcing them to grow up and make up for some of the stuff that you feel guilty about in the past. But starting at point guilt is a horrible place to start parenting them.
Okay. Yeah.
Mylon and
I think Sherry? That's excellent. Okay. I think you have to say, what is the immediate need of the child? And I couldn't have said it better.
The only thing I would add to that is, I think your mom needs Al-Anon.
Yes.
And I think it'd be
absolutely
really good for you to go with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because she's an enabler. She's enabling bad behavior. And the kids have learned how they're teaching her bad behavior, because as soon as she gets upset or sad or whatever, they'd go into their manipulative, abusive behavior. And it's just keeping the whole system stuck. They need to reset the hard drive in that home. And so your mom's not going to be able to do that on her own. She hasn't been for a long time. She needs a community that can help her, and Al-Anon's a great place for that. And because there's alcohol with your brother, it's a perfect fit for you guys. Go with her.
Now I got a question, though.
Yeah.
Does your mom know you're calling?
Yes, she does. I have been kind of, for a very long time, for many years, actually when my parents got separated about 10 years ago, I literally pulled my mom and my siblings out of the home they were in. My dad had been basically under the influence of alcohol for like 2 months straight and he wasn't cohesive. He was starting to become aggressive, which he had never been before. And so this is kind of the second time around this is happening, except it's with my siblings now. It's not with my father. But I literally had to, like, pick her up, almost drag her out of that house with my siblings and take her out to a new situation. And so I stopped doing that for a little bit. Like, for these 10 years, I've had my own family and things. And so I've tried to let her do things on her own. And I have offered Al-Anon. I have offered those things. And I have offered to go with her. And she doesn't get to a place where I feel like she feels the desperate need to. And I felt like I told her, well, I can call the show, and then, you know, it won't come from my lips anymore. It'll come from some experts that will give you what I think you should be doing. But I've been kind of counseling her to move, let them be on their own, you know, go to Al-Anon, get help for herself.
Okay, now, so I think what I'm trying to understand even with you, Sarah, is how much of a caretaker you are. And it doesn't sound like you're being overly caretaking because you're strategic at the times where it was appropriate to come in.
Like a lifeguard. Yeah. She's like a lifeguard with a mom who's drowning.
But your mom ultimately has to decide. She wants to change.
Yep.
So what you may want to do is have her listen to the show. You can go online. You can listen to it. You can watch the video of the show and let her sit and sort of hear the whole thing herself. So it sort of sinks in because she has to decide she's going to do what Steve said. I'm going to deal with the immediacy of the problem. And by the way, Steve, you could also in the future talk to your kids about guilt and even mention it in the discussion.
Yeah.
But then draw the boundary.
All right. I'm just going to assume that mom is listening right now, and I want to do a little sermonette here.
All right.
Okay. It's one thing to be aware that things are difficult and that the kids are a problem at 18 and 21. And hopefully your awareness now leads you to want something different for them. So they don't continue to to be abusive and abuse themselves. So you want something. You have desire. So we went from knowledge to desire. You have to take the third step, and that is the step toward willingness.
Yeah.
Desire gets you nowhere. Willingness changes the scene. And that's where you want mom to be, at a place of humble willingness, giving up the home remedies of the past and picking up right where she is today to help those kids. Okay?
And yes, and thank you so much. And I would also, since she is going to be listening, I would like her to hear about how a little bit more about her enabling, what is that really is causing, because she thinks she's confused that if she lets it go, if she, you know, pulls out, then something really bad can happen, because my sister has committed suicide.
Something bad is happening. Something bad is happening because your mom's not doing anything. Right. Your mom is drowning with two children in the boat.
And she's enabling the evil that is being created there.
Yep.
And that's not a good thing, to enable evil.
And your mom should not move out of the house and leave the two kids in the house. They need to get out and be on their own. And when we set boundaries with people, we're playing a game of chicken, really. Because if we really set a boundary with somebody and they hold us hostage by dangling over our head, you know, I'm going to hurt myself. We have to be willing, if we're going to be strong, to call that bluff and be willing to lose because we did the next right thing, which was to set a boundary. We cannot live our whole life dangling and dancing around trying to stop a person from doing a threat like that.
Yeah, amen. Self-harm.
All right. Well, let me send you a copy of Boundaries.
Yeah.
Hope that'll help you and help the others there. Now, let's talk to Sue. Sue's calling from Huntington Beach and listens on KKLA. Hi, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I am a brand new listener. I just stumbled upon your program a couple days ago,
and I was just listening to a bit about tithing.
Yes.
And I have a question.
Okay.
I am caught between God and my husband.
All right.
I, in the past, have always tithed 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a stay-home mom, and now that he's in charge of the finances, he will not allow me to tithe.
Okay.
And so I feel guilty. However, in my prayers to God, I say that my husband is the head of the household, and I'm supposed to honor him, but I still feel caught between God and my husband.
Okay.
So I guess emotionally, mentally, how do I deal with this?
Okay. I'll go.
Go.
All right. Well, first of all, one person is probably better at paying bills than the other. And let's say that that's him, okay?
Okay.
But that doesn't mean the person that pays the bills should be making all the financial decisions. That
right.
should be a joint venture, mutual submission. The Bible says to submit yourself one to another. So
correct.
One thing that you could say is, you know, I appreciate how you write the bills, but I want to have some kind of input into how we spend the money or disperse the money, and I would really like to tithe to the church. And when he says, no way, ask him this. Well, would you mind if I took 10% and invested it while I pray that you're going to change your heart? So that in 4 years, when you finally say, yes, we can thank God and we can show respect and tithe, you'll have all of that money. It will have earned interest, and you can give it in one big lump sum to the church.
Okay.
And a lot of times, guys that are
very creative
are kind of not wanting you to give, a lot of times they're very receptive to you taking the money and investing it.
Right, because in the past, about 10 years ago, when I was in charge of bills, he allowed me to tithe, and I tried to show him the benefits that God provided and took care of us, and there was no stress financially within our marriage.
Yeah.
And then he got freaked out with the economy and said, no more tithing. And
okay, well,
just won't money give anything.
Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about a different issue, or I want Mylon and Sherry to talk about a different issue, and that is the depth of or lack of depth of connection in your marriage and how this is kind of a reflection of the two of you not being in an intimate connection, being on the same page. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are. but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're talking with Sue, and it's one of those tough situations where he doesn't want his wife to tithe 10%, and sometimes the issue goes beyond the tithe. Mylon, you want to help Sue look at a bigger picture, maybe?
Well, Sue, Steve kind of tossed something out there. It was a bit controversial before the break. He said he didn't think there was an intimacy that the two of you needed to have. Do you have any clue what he was talking about?
He's absolutely 100% correct.
Now that's why he is the host of this show, new listener.
See, I got one right.
See, he got one right. You're the new listener, and that's why he's sitting in the driver's seat. Okay, now, having said that, your husband is freaked out. Now let's just take that for a second. I think we got to ask the question, what do any of us do when we have a family member who freaks out over something?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do with that? Sherry, what do you do with a freaked out person? How do we address a friend? How do we be intimate with a person that's freaked out and traumatized about something?
No, I was hearing it because, Sue, I think I was maybe trying to hear it from your perspective, that, you know, you're feeling fearful about your husband not tithing. He's feeling fearful about the economy. And your fear may be, what is God going to do if I don't tithe? It's like
right.
You're both kind of freaked out here.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the only one that's freaked out in this picture.
But you have an opportunity to connect with him.
You do.
At the level of him being freaked out.
We're both a little scared here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think it sounds like, is Steve is bang on with the intimacy, and you're both a little scared here. Have you guys talked about how scared you are? You know, I get that you really respect your husband for his leadership in your family and all, and you're kind of under his umbrella and then, you know, God's umbrella. But it's like it's scary to have somebody at the helm that you feel like maybe setting yourself something up to for God to react in some way, some scary way.
Yeah.
Right, because he's just freaked out about everything. I mean, he's drawn away from the church. He doesn't want to talk about church. He won't pray at the table anymore. His interaction with the kids and he is freaked out about.
All right. So now that is the topic of the table that needs to be on the table right there.
Stop talking about the tithing for a while and start talking about
your fear, honey.
Fear.
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm concerned about you. All of a sudden, it's not about the issue.
Yeah.
We take the issue, we take it off the table for a minute, and we go, "Whoa, I never realized how anxious, how upset and how panicky you are."
And
then tell me more about your panic.
And that's how you can get into it, by saying, honey, I realized something.
Yes.
So that you've got an excuse to be taking a different approach. Honey, I realized.
Sometimes people have grown up in a family background where there's been scarcity. There's not been a lot of resources or the bottom has fallen out. When the economy does what it does, all of a sudden, all those past, you know, history stuff comes right to the forefront, and we become really miserly, you know, tight-fisted, non-giving people because we've lived without a lot. And my guess is that he's got that in his background for him to have this strong of a reaction.
I think so. All right, so here comes How We Love. I'll send it to you. It will help you to connect with him at a level of intimacy. And maybe the tithing issue will take care of itself. If you're on the line, please hang on. We're going to do another program right after this. But that was our last call for this hour. But we'll pick it right back up here at the beginning of the next hour. A few things I want to tell you about. One is we mentioned the Pool of Bethesda, and that was where a guy had been laying there he'd been ill for 38 years, couldn't walk. And Jesus walks up to him and says, "Hey, do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed?" And that's the foundation of our workshop, Healing is a Choice. A lot of times we're waiting for God to do what God has been waiting for us to do. And so I want to take you through 10 different choices that put you in a place where healing is the most likely to occur, is most likely to occur. So please come and join me in Philadelphia, the 23rd, 24th, 25th of July, just right here. Bring your spouse or just bring yourself. It'll be a life-changing experience. These have been amazing. So that's the Healing is a Choice weekend coming up. After that, in September, we have Women in the Battle. If you're a woman who has been affected by someone with a sexual integrity problem, married to, engaged to, used to be married to, divorced from, this is for you. This is for your time of healing and understanding. We did it for you. And Dr. Sherry Denham is going to do this. Sherry, why are you so excited about this thing?
I'm passionate about it because there really hasn't been anything that has helped women to understand sex addiction on a national level, meaning what is this? How do I get more connected in my area with other women that are also struggling? And let's just talk about it. Let's come to a place where there's no judgment, no shame. Bring your brokenness. We're going to be talking about codependency and trauma and just helping to bind your wounds. Yeah. Those of us that have been, which is my personal story, have been married to someone where there's been betrayal and affairs, it wipes you out.
Yep.
And carnage is probably the best word I know to describe it. We want to bind your wounds and help you get stronger.
All right. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We also have small groups, and Ryan is the person that runs our small groups. Let me play a little clip that Ryan did for us here on small groups. At New Life, we have a ministry outreach coordinator, and his name is Ryan Morello. He's an amazing guy. And essentially, he's in charge of our small group ministry. Yes, we have one. And yes, you and your church could benefit from it. Hi, Ryan. Welcome.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What's new in the area of New Life and small groups?
Well, we have been working for the past few months on our life groups website, and that's newlife.com/lifegroups. And mm-hmm. on the website, we've included frequently asked questions for people who are interested in starting a life group on the how-tos and why it's beneficial, and information on the curriculum we have and downloads and a lot of interesting stuff for facilitators or people just looking to get involved.
And when you say get involved, what can a person do to get involved with life groups in their church?
We have a few different ways that people can get connected. You know, if you are somebody and you're looking to get involved with the life group, we do have a search where you can punch in your zip code and look for a local life group around you for you to get connected with. Also, if you want to, you know, maybe begin a life group, you can take the information to your pastoral team or your leadership team at your church and go through the process of starting groups within your church, or you can take it as a group by yourself and start it within your own home. So,
well, I tell you, my church, we have Lose It for Life. That's one of the groups. 30 people show up every week, and we do life recovery, and it's just these small groups are great. But I got to talk to you about one more thing before we go, and that is this matching gift of $100,000. If you give a dollar, we have a couple that will match it a dollar, and so you'll be giving $2, or $100 will be $200. And if you know anything about ministry, you know that in summer, you need all the help that you can get, and we do need your help, especially if you've never given before. Come in and take the place of somebody that maybe went on vacation. Really, if we've ever met one of your needs, if we've given you some insight, would you just give back a little bit and call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We don't have access to the money all the time, and so please do it today if possible. You could also write us at Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Call New Life or go to the website. It's easy to give online at newlife.com. Thanks for what?
Money.
Double your money.
I think that's great.
You're doubling down.
I'm going to write my
check
today.
For those in Vegas, double down. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Mylon. And thanks to all of you who listen. We appreciate you. We love getting to be with you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.